What's going on, everybody? It's the Heralds of Nerdage coming to you once again with another exciting round of, well, I guess news and information and overall geek goodness.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Or nerd knowledge.
I'd say nerd knowledge.
I like the way that sounds better.
Nerd knowledge?
Bit. Yeah.
All right.
Instead of geek goodness, nerd knowledge. Take this and use it.
Can we coin it?
Probably.
All right.
You heard it here first. On the Herald
that was
Nerdage.
Like my little coin symbol right there.
Nerd knowledge. It was. I liked it.
All right.
Jump on a turtle.
That's kind of bad. Anyways, so Thor was released a couple weeks ago.
It's been an exciting 2 weeks since we last talked to you listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a lot going on.
Yep, had a lot going on. Huge comic releases.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was at least 3 solid weeks.
Of just, oh man.
It was insane.
Yeah, so much good stuff. It's incredible that it was all packed into these last 3 weeks. It makes me wonder what, like, the next couple weeks are going to bring.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we got a lot to look forward to. But to back up, I mean, I saw the Thor movie. You saw the Thor movie.
Just saw it this afternoon.
Yeah. Let's jump into that. Let's go head first with our mighty meow meow.
Let's dive right in to the summertime. Because this was the first big summer blockbuster, I would say, in terms of...
Fast Five was the summer blockbuster?
I don't know. I think because I'm just weirded out by Fast Five. It takes place after Fast and the Furious 2. No, after 3, but before Tokyo Drift.
But isn't Tokyo Drift like a whole new genre?
That's what I thought, but apparently it takes place after this one, even though it came out before, like, 4. Did? I don't know.
A prequel to a sequel?
I'm surprised that there's even been 5 Fast and the Furious movies, to be honest with you. I remember when that was, like, huge back then, and I saw 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then I made so much fun of Tokyo Drift, because it was this big, tall, white dude over in Tokyo, talking about, on the other side of the world, on the wrong side of the law, a new form of racing is taking form.
That just is like a bad tagline. Obviously, he can.
Apparently, when it's drifting.
Yeah, I guess everyone can.
Definitely not going to be able to buy shoes, though.
All right.
Let's talk about Thor.
So we saw Thor.
Okay, I won't count Fast Five, but I will say that I feel like Thor is the first one because it's a Marvel movie. It's got that sort of... Fast and the Furious has that built-in audience because it's been going on for,
right,
like, 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But Marvel movies have been slowly and steadily gaining this huge following, even
right,
if you don't know who the character is. And I feel like Thor definitely proved that again by being the number one at the box office its opening weekend.
Yep. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. You know, I wouldn't say it's my favorite Marvel movie. I'd say it was... You definitely know they're doing sequels. So
oh, yeah.
I say it was a great first step. Just like Iron Man was a great first step, even though I think Iron Man was much better than Thor.
I could agree there, definitely.
I had fun. Wasn't really counting the time. I didn't feel let down. I felt, oh, okay, they kind of touched on all bases.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
They definitely did a good job of, not establishing too many expectations, but still exceeding the ones that they had set up.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I didn't go into it with anything, almost like when I saw Iron Man. I didn't go in expecting, like, oh man, I hope this is better than the last Iron Man movie they made.
Right.
So I feel like with Thor, I'm still comparing it to Iron Man and to Iron Man 2 and the Marvel movies that have come before it.
But, yeah, because they've set high standards.
Right. But I definitely didn't feel let down. I felt very much in the continuity of the films without relying too heavily on the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Story-wise, and then it was just overall a pretty fun movie.
Yeah, I pretty much fully agree with you.
Yeah,
like I enjoyed the movie. The special effects were really cool. I thought they captured a lot of the characters pretty well.
I thought so too. I will say one thing: Volstagg was not as voluminous as I thought he was going to be.
That
had me a little bit bummed.
Yeah, I actually liked his character. It was pretty
good. Oh, yeah, I like that it was very spot on to the comics.
Yeah.
But I just expected a little bit more...
Of a plumpness?
A little bit. Yeah, definitely.
Like they CG'd Blob in Wolverine Origins, like that?
Not like that, but definitely just a little bit rounder of a midsection.
Okay.
You know, just enough that it almost... comical but a little bit back, you know?
All right, all right.
But, you know, other than that, I thought it was great. The Warriors yeah. 3 yeah. were done really well. Odin was done really well. The guy yeah. that they had played Loki, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, just Loki about was great.
As unpredictable as you imagine a character, the god of mischief to be.
Yep.
In terms of his emotions, and you never mm-hmm. really know what to expect out of him. So,
yep.
I definitely thought it was cool. I thought the end credits sequence was awesome.
Yes. What a great way to set up the Avengers.
What a great way to not only set up that, but also to set up Captain America.
Well, Captain America is set prior to all this, so it's got to be something that they find in Captain America.
Which I think it will be.
Which is just as good, so, you know, I'd take that. And
they mention in that scene, without spoiling too much, that history and legend
mm-hmm.
sometimes are two very similar things, so I think that establishes that the thing there in that scene
mm-hmm.
perhaps came from the past.
Yeah.
Which has me super stoked on Captain America. That, and they showed the trailer before Thor, and that got me really jazzed.
Like, I've seen the Captain America trailer a couple times. This is a bit off topic, but I'll come back. I've seen the Captain America trailer a couple times on my computer, and, you know, I've seen it in high def. This is the first time I got to see the full, you know, Captain America trailer in the theaters, and I gotta say, I was super pumped.
Yeah.
Like, I was really excited, and that is going to be my pick this year. I can feel it, that's going to be the movie.
I definitely think it's going to be better than Thor was.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's probably going to be the best comic book movie this year, too.
Yeah, I mean, to watch the Howling Commandos come in busting up and watch a Dum-Dum Dugan, you know, just blast.
The sweet shotgun.
Yeah, and Nick Fury.
But there's no Nick Fury in there.
Well,
because Sam Jackson is Nick Fury.
But do they?
Maybe he's in the background?
Yeah, I mean, was that Bucky Barnes there? I mean,
that would be kind of cool.
It'd be great to see all those people. It would be really cool to see how Nick Fury comes into play with Captain America. You know, you got to see Howard Stark.
Yeah.
So it'd be a little precursor to, you know, the Iron Man and the legacy he left. Now you can finally tie all of those Captain America shields that you see in Iron Man's,
like, workshop.
Workshops. And now you can see that probably Howard Stark created them, which is pretty another awesome. Really cool way to tie all these movies together.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing I noticed about Thor is I know it all is supposed to tie in, but, you know, I didn't really feel like it still felt like its own movie.
Yeah.
You know, aside from the ending with Fury and all that, it felt like its own movie, which is really kind of nice to see that. You know,
and I like that there were the occasional references, though, to that shared universe.
Hawkeye.
A doctor working with a gamma radiation thing out in the Southwest.
Who had run-ins with S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
And yeah, then, that's pretty good.
When they're talking about Stark's robots and
mm-hmm.
and suits and stuff. So it was cool that they could make a movie that isn't so heavily relying on the ones that they've made before
mm-hmm.
that still contributes to.
Yep.
I thought that was pretty great.
All right. So what would you give Thor out of 5?
Out of 5? Mm-hmm. I would give it 4.
4? 4 for Thor?
A solid 4 for Thor.
Okay.
Definitely.
I'm going to agree with you and say 4 as well. I look forward to seeing that movie on Blu-ray. And
oh, yeah, definitely.
Just having that
in mind. That was probably my other complaint.
What?
Was that they have that sweet armory room.
Mm-hmm.
And the very first time you see it, they pan down the different, like, little cutout areas, and you get to see these cool relics and things that they talk about having found or taken, and they're like trophies, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And as the fan in me is looking there for Easter eggs.
Yeah.
Because that's sort of their thing, and it's really quick. Like, they just kind of, like, blow down that hallway, right? Mm-hmm. And I was kind of bummed out because I thought I saw some things, and I was sort of getting pretty stoked on it, right?
Right.
There was mention that maybe the Infinity Gauntlet was going to show up in Thor because it showed up back in Comic-Con
mm-hmm.
the year before. So I had my eyes peeled. But yeah. It's so fast. And then they kept going back to that room, whether characters would just happen to be there or they were walking around, and they never once looked down those little hallways
again. No, it was always focused on the one.
It was always, like, straight down. And I was like, oh, man, I just want to see these Easter eggs. I want to see what these are, because I had some ideas about what they were, but I couldn't confirm. I had no second opinion.
Yeah.
So on Blu-ray or DVD, it's definitely going to be great to, like, pause and, like, zoom in.
Yes, you know? Very. Or even I bet you we'll see some great deleted scenes or something like that.
Oh, yeah, where they're, like, talking about each one or something.
Yeah, like, you know, I remember when I quested for this item, you know, +2 to dexterity.
Yeah. Look at my hammer. Gives me 4 charisma.
There you go. But, yeah, it was a good movie.
Hook up with the ladies.
I definitely agree with you. I would give it also a 4.
Solid 4.
Yeah. So, cool.
Check it out.
So, back to... And this is kind of sad that we're talking about the previews to Thor, but, I mean, it's a comic summer.
It is, and that's one of the best things about going to the movies is the previews.
Yeah, and the 4 previews I saw, so there was X-Men First Class, I saw Super 8, Green Lantern, Captain America. It was a pretty heavy trailer, and I loved every minute of it. I mean, I'm really looking forward to Super 8.
Yeah.
You know, that looks to just be a great movie in general.
I'm still kind of not sure what to make of it.
I think it's going to be a great holdover before Captain America.
Definitely. Like, I think it's going to be a great movie, mm-hmm. but it has that weird sort of, the trailer anyways, has that weird setup of, like, sort of that Steven Spielberg, like, E.T. music.
Yeah.
Over, like...
J.J. Abrams.
Like a guy getting ripped off the ground, like, dragged through a store screaming.
Well, that's like...
You know, so it's like, is this a scary alien? Is it a fun alien?
Maybe he's in between.
Yeah, exactly. He might be scary fun. You know, but it's sort of like, I'm very intrigued by that trailer because I just don't know what to expect from it. But mm-hmm. I know it's going to be a good movie. It's got
to
be.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It just looks to be a great general all-around, like, movie that you'll want to see in theaters.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
So, the other movie I saw was X-Men First Class. Still, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll still see it.
I think I'm getting a little more excited for it with mm-hmm. each trailer I see.
Okay.
Because each one sort of makes the movie look a little bit better. This time, a little bit tighter.
Yeah, this time I got to see Banshee fly.
Yeah, and be underwater and, like, create some crazy Sonic.
Well, when he flies, you know, you see his little propulsion thing.
Yeah.
You actually see the sound waves going down to keep him afloat. Which is pretty cool, but, I mean, I didn't hear any sound with him yelling. So, it's like, are they going to make it like this ear-piercing scream right. every single time?
That's definitely what I want to hear.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That
it's
was like, heavy sarcasm when I know. Said that. Just so listeners know.
I was also. Being...
But, yeah, I'm kind of a little bit more and more as I see it. I'm getting kind of excited. And it's Matthew Vaughn directing it, which I think has some potential there because, you know... He did Kick-Ass, which was an awesome movie.
Yeah, much better than the comic book.
Yeah, much more timely, too. Said it was going to come out, and it came out.
Now, I don't know who we can blame for that, if we blame Miller or we blame the movie. But anyways, that's a whole other...
I blame John Romita Jr.
But,
the whole other can of worms.
Yeah. So X-Men First Class looks pretty good. You got Kevin Bacon and a bunch of others.
Excited to see mutants that we haven't seen.
And, yeah.
Like I think what I said before, the relationship between Magneto and Xavier is finally being explored, which I think is one of the better parts
mm-hmm.
of the whole X-Men history. So.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see where they go from here and
right.
how this affects the other Marvel universe. And, yeah. But the other trailer I saw was the Green Lantern. You know, Ryan Reynolds doing his thing. Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
Kilowog speaks, which is pretty cool.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah. He tried to take it back. Yeah. And we got to see more like Evan Sewer talking. We got to see more Sinestro, more mm-hmm. the Green Lanterns.
Got to see more constructs.
Yeah.
Which originally had me a little bit worried that they mm-hmm. were going to go for like loosely made, you know, no well-defined edges like they do in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But... It's looking pretty tight. It's looking like they've got it kind of down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other cool thing I got to see in this trailer was you got to see the Guardians, which was pretty cool to finally see those guys. Like, I was worried that they were just going to be like a voice on like a pedestal and you just like look up and it's kind of like shrouded in mystery.
It's sort of like Wizard of Oz-ish.
Yeah, like pay no attention to the man in the cloak.
Right.
But no, you actually got to see him and he's... Hal Jordan is interacting with the Guardians and pleading with them, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it does look pretty cool. I will say the Guardians look a little hydrocephalic. Their heads are... Well, I mean, they're supposed to be, but it's looking a little watery.
Well, we'll
exactly.
We'll see how it actually translates during the movie. Right. You know, will we get wrapped
up
in it?
I'm sure it won't be that big of a deal.
The other thing that I didn't really get is like Hal Jordan in the trailer makes a flamethrower, which
it looked. I thought I saw that same thing, and yeah. I thought, how does he know? Like, is he telling the ring to convert the oxygen molecules in the air into, like, hydrogen?
Right.
And then...
Because, like, the weird thing is, like, even when he has the Gatling gun and he's firing it, it's still shooting green bullets.
Right. So I think with this flamethrower is he created the actual thrower part and then willed, like, one of the canisters or mm-hmm. something in that room of flammable material,
mm-hmm.
like, into it. Okay. You know what I mean? So he created the
means. He merged two items in
like,
the one.
He's holding the canister with the construct
mm-hmm.
and then creating the whole thing that he needs to make the flamethrower.
I think we're going a little too in-depth into a trailer.
I think so too. I don't think he should be able to make flamethrowers
or
guns because he can just shoot projected bolts of energy.
Right. He can make a fist, apparently, and beat up buggers.
So, whatever, right? It's mm-hmm. it's a movie. It's going to take some liberties, but
yep.
I'm curious to see how the rest of it translates.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I still honestly think that Captain America is going to be my movie. I'm not too excited about Green Lantern, and I'm not too excited about X-Men. Hopefully you hear me in a couple of months when I say, oh, man, I was so wrong,
because
that I love to be proven wrong on these movies.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I grew up with good. All this stuff.
Yeah.
Just like I'm really excited to see the new Spider-Man reboot, even though I'm really bummed out that it's not got Tobey Maguire. I thought he was great, Peter Parker, but
right.
This new dude looks to be pretty good, and you know they got web shooters this time. But when a trailer comes out, I'll have more in-depth analysis and whatnot. And
definitely.
We'll just go from there. But yeah, so in the past couple of weeks, like we talked about earlier, ton of new comics came out.
Ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, I was really surprised I had time to go see Thor with how many comics came out.
Yeah. No, I hear you there.
So, we had stuff on DC, the DC side. We had a couple of new Batman Inks. We had Flashpoint, the first Flashpoint, Flashpoint number one.
Flashpoint number one.
We had a couple of Flashes that tied into Flashpoint. It was like prelude to Flashpoint.
Yep.
Then we had
Action Comics 900, which yep. I think the news made way bigger a deal of.
Yeah, whatever.
That's news.
That's nothing you can really do about that. And then on the Marvel side, we had the Annihilators, Cosmic Marvel.
Love it.
We had Mighty Thor. We had Future Foundations. We had Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man, and
Fear Itself.
Fear Itself number two, that's true.
And a couple of the tie-in series, even.
Yeah, we had Spider-Man Fear Itself. We had the Young Avengers. No, it wasn't the Young Avengers.
It's called Youth and Revolt. But it's essentially Young Avengers right. and Avengers the Initiative and the Young Allies. And
right.
all those teams that couldn't sustain their own book. So they just get bumped to miniseries.
True. And then even on the independent side, we had Crossed, Chew, Axe Cop, which yep. I'll rave about that later. And then even a little kickback to old school, we had Mega Man number one.
Yeah.
But let's go right into, I don't know, the Action Comics number 900, because that seemed to be...
That was a pretty...
Even though it was a pretty weak, like, not so much weak book, but...
It was a pretty weak book.
Okay.
I won't lie.
I actually did not read it. I saw it on the news, and I was like, something about this doesn't seem like they're... Like it's right, but
right.
sure enough, after talking to Chaz about it, the news totally blew it out of proportion again. And well, let's tell him like what happened.
All right, I'll talk a little bit about it because I was way pumped up for this book. Not so much; it was the 900th issue, so mm-hmm. they threw a lot of extra in there,
right?
Because they want to make it really count. You know, 900 doesn't come around every day, I suppose. So I was getting pretty pumped up about the main storyline, which up until this point had been focused on Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get back to that sort of power that he had when he had the orange ring during Blackest Night.
Right.
And that was a really cool story. They're involving a lot of DC characters and other villains and stuff like that. So the first story in Action Comics 900 is to wrap that up. But it really didn't have too much to do with that. They were setting up more of this Reign of Doomsday storyline, which if you hadn't been reading, like, I hadn't really quite kept up on it because it was in books that I'm not a huge fan of.
It crossed through Superboy, and then I never saw the end of it.
Yeah, which if you picked up Action Comics 900, you would have been close to the end of it, I think.
Okay.
So it was very heavily focused on that. And then the main actual story with Lex Luthor was pretty cool. And then there was a lot of backup stories, one of which was really, really good. And it was written by Damian Lindelof and drawn by Ryan Sook. And it was really awesome. Didn't even have anything to do with Superman, really. It was more about Jor-El on Krypton. It was amazing. And then there was a story in there where Superman renounces his American citizenship. And that was what blew up big all over the news. And to be honest, I didn't even realize that when I had read it. Because I just wasn't paying attention, I suppose. But all it is him flying into, like, Iran, or I guess the DC Comics equivalent, where there's this big protest going on, and soldiers are about to open fire on the crowd, and Superman flies in, and he stands with the protesters. So it's essentially him just saying, I'm here to support these people, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, doing a Superman thing.
Right.
Not him saying...
down with America.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about America. They can go, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever expletive deleted there. you know what I mean? So, it was just way blown out of proportion for being not even the full story. Like, the main story, the main component of that book. It was just backup.
Right.
Which is sort of a, I don't know, everybody's going out and crazy about this book, but it's kind of whatever, you know? It's not even that important in the long run, I don't think.
Oh, well, just things happen.
News sensationalism.
Yeah. So, oh, well, kind of a letdown, number 900.
Yeah.
I guess we get to look forward to number 1,000.
I think so. I'm pretty excited on it.
Yeah. So, the big books that did come out for DC were obviously Batman Incorporated and Flashpoint.
And Flashpoint, definitely.
And any tie-ins to Flashpoint.
That's going to be their big summer event, all those tie-ins, which start in June.
The tie-ins start.
And this first issue, I don't know how you like or how you felt about it, because we haven't had a chance to really talk about it yet.
But right.
I have to say, as confused as I was about what was going on,
yeah,
I liked it.
You know, I just finished reading it last night, and I thought about it. And I'm on the fence with it because I really was confused the entire time. I was probably just like you. If you've read it, you'll know what we're talking about. Like, you're just thrown into the scenario and they want you to just accept it.
Like, here are some characters that you think you know or you're familiar with.
Right.
But they're not. It's something, they're different or their motivations are different or something like that. It almost felt like this whole first issue was showing you this big, giant, like, knit sweater.
Yeah.
And then the very last page, that very last panel, which was, like, jaw-droppingly good, like, ripped on one of the strings. And now we're going to watch this whole world unravel.
Right.
That's kind of how I felt about it.
And I felt more of, like, I don't know, just confused.
Yeah. I was
That's the easiest way to say it for me.
I was definitely confused, but I was kind of, I don't know, I'm curious to see, like, who these characters are.
Right.
And, now, like, what their new roles are.
Luckily, this time I read Flash before I read Flashpoint, number one.
Right.
So I got to wrap up the Road to Flashpoint arc that was in the actual Flash comic. And that to me, was actually pretty good. Like, I enjoyed seeing, you know, Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
I
enjoyed a little bit of the revelation about the Speed Force.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that even though right now it didn't feel like it played too heavily into Flashpoint itself,
yep,
I think that down the line it definitely will.
Yeah, I fully agree, and it was cool to see him sort of like, I don't know, even though he's such a bad character, like I'm talking like moral wise, it was kind of cool to see him like finally get what he wanted.
Yeah,
you know. Because he stated it many times, oh, I can't kill Barry Allen because then it'll affect my future. But this time he was like, wait a second. You're Barry Allen.
I totally can.
From an alternate future or from an alternate timeline. I can finally do it. And it's almost like you can see the tear in his eye of joy.
Right.
It was kind of like one of those sick moments, I guess. I don't know if I should be really taking pleasure from this, but
yeah,
it was
I don't
just
see why you shouldn't.
It was well written. It was very well done.
Definitely.
It was just a great moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely say that for sure. I'm excited for the rest of Flashpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I remember at first I was kind of a little bit hesitant because there's so many miniseries and so much that it felt like was going on, but now I want to read these miniseries because I want to know what these characters are about.
I know for a fact I'm not going to read them all. I'll probably read Batman, probably if the Titans get involved. I'll probably actually just stick with what I got. I know I won't be reading Booster Gold or any of those other
Frankenstein
titles.
Frankenstein and the Creatures of the Unknown.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Secret 7.
I won't be reading Secret 7.
I will be.
There you go.
It'll never come out because George Perez is drawing it, and he takes forever. You remember Final Crisis and the Legion of Three Worlds?
I try not to.
It took forever to come out.
But, yeah, so we got Flashpoint to look forward to.
Definitely.
For the first issue, as confusing as it was, I am looking forward to it.
Same here.
No War of the Green Lanterns, as you mentioned earlier.
Surprisingly, no War of the Green Lanterns, but I think they're gearing up because they're almost to the close of this part of the storyline.
And to the movie.
Tend to that as well. So I think that they're going to really just like crank it out as like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, like fast.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to be pretty exciting, I think.
Yep.
But as far as big events go, like you said earlier, Marvel released Fear Itself #2.
Yep.
And some of those tie-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that Fear Itself #2 was incredibly good. Like
I thought it was just okay. It seemed like they crammed a lot in it and didn't really explain a lot.
Yeah, it felt like everything happened and yet nothing happened.
Right. You saw all, well, not all, but the majority of the hammers picked up. You got to see the main characters picked up.
And the cool little subtitles that they got.
Yeah.
Which I thought was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that they chose, a little bit odd at times, I thought.
I can't wait to see how this turns out with Juggernaut.
I think that's going to be cool, but Grey Gargoyle,
mm-hmm.
a little bit weird. As far as villains go, he's sort of not on my radar.
Also weird about the, I always forget her name, but the Absorbing Man and his wife.
Titania?
Yeah, when she picked his up and then she was like, oh, we haven't got yours yet, come with me. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Like you see him, he's all like down, he's like, oh man, how come you got a hammer? And she's like, not to worry, husband.
Don't worry, we're going to get you one.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best hammer ever. Just you wait.
But yeah, so we had Fear Itself 2 come out. I'm really looking forward to Fear Itself 2. I'm looking forward to finishing up Fear Itself.
Right. I think that's going to be a really strong event.
I'm looking more forward to Fear Itself than Flashpoint. And that solidified even more by that first issue just with how confusing it was.
Right.
But I'm really looking forward to Fear Itself. I can see that being a great trade paperback, just something to pick up and read.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So the other, thinking of hammers and whatnot, we had Mighty Thor come out, Mighty Thor #2.
One.
Or was it?
Fear Itself 2.
That's true.
Mighty Thor 1.
Right. With the Silver Surfer.
Yes. And Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
And drawn by Coypel once again.
Okay.
His return to Thor. And his art is just so beautiful.
Yeah, and so what'd you think of it?
I loved it.
Yeah?
There were so many good books that came out the same week that Mighty Thor came out, and I honestly can say that Mighty Thor was my favorite. It was so coolly written,
mm-hmm.
perfectly drawn, and then the colors even were so good and so, like, crazy, and the stuff that was going on when they diving into space-time, you know?
Right.
And you had the sweet scuba Thor suit.
Like I said, dude, even though I got it, I can't remember it.
Oh, man, you got to go back and reread it because it was so good.
Yeah, I'm sorry. As much as I want to remember it and everything, and I'm trying to, I just can't. There were just so many books that came out, and only so many stick out in my head. And I know you loved Mighty Thor, but
I do. I highly recommend that anybody listening who hasn't gone out and picked up Mighty Thor,
mm-hmm.
or decided, oh, I don't want to read this Thor book, because
yeah.
why? Pick it up, because mm-hmm. it is incredible, and 100% worth the $3.99 for issue 1, and then it's going to be $2.99 after that, so
It's kind of like an introduction.
Yeah, it seems like all the Marvel number ones start. Yeah. Well, they said new series in 2011 will be $2.99. And then their first issues come out and they're $3.99. So I thought, deal breakers, right? And then they followed up with being the $2.99 price point. So
all right.
It's definitely go pick it up. Check it out. It's awesome.
And then I would turn around and say, I would recommend the Annihilators.
Oh, I 100% back that up.
Cosmic Marvel. I don't think I've ever read a bad Cosmic Marvel book.
No. It's really hard to think about what was bad. Because even when it wasn't as good as it is right now,
mm-hmm.
it was still setting up something that was incredibly cool.
Yeah. For me, the storyline was great. You know, you had Silver Surfer and Quasar and the Guardian and Billy
Ronan,
Ray.
Ronan the Accuser. Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah. So it was some good characters. And
oh, yeah.
I loved the backstory with Rocket Raccoon.
Definitely awesome. That's it's hard for me to determine which part of that book I like more. The Rocket Raccoon Groot story mm-hmm. or the Annihilator story. Because the Annihilators are dealing with, they have Space Knights in there mm-hmm. and wraiths and all sorts of other cool stuff. And every time I turn the page, every time I get to the end of an issue of Annihilators, mm-hmm. I'm always thinking there's a setup for like, oh, Mo, look out behind you. And then you turn the page and you're like, what's going to be behind him? Is it going to be Rom Space Knight? Finally? The thing that Abnett and Lanning have said they want to do so bad.
Nope, it's not.
You don't know.
It's a to-be-continued page. Right.
And you never know, though. He could show up. I think if he shows up anywhere, it's going to be in Annihilators.
All right.
And they've got one more issue to go. And then, sadly, I think that's the end of Marvel Cosmic for a while.
Which is a real letdown, because when they were all coming out, you know, when you had the Nova series and you had
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy, which was a phenomenal book.
Yeah, it was one of my
favorites. I recommend
that
to everyone.
Yeah.
But then you had, like, the Thanos Imperative and... Dude, that whole last year, everything Cosmic Marvel was just phenomenal.
It was.
And it was always the last book I read because I always wanted to end it on a high note. You know, every time I read these books, like I even put like all the Cosmic Marvels last past Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I mean, I just loved that book.
It was a really great run that they had. They've been doing it for the past couple of years now.
And it didn't involve other characters from Marvel Universe.
It didn't.
Which
is
great.
The best part I always felt about these cosmic stories, and I think this is the part that people who don't like Cosmic Marvel didn't like about it, was the scope of the stories.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happens in there is so big and so huge, and like the problems that they're facing are like insane, you know?
Yeah.
Like the Annihilation Wave, the very first one, a whole force just invading from the center of the universe out to destroy everything.
Yeah.
Which is just one of the coolest, like, images ever, you know?
It was cool
that there's
to see
just
them.
Billions of enemies, Galactus all mad, wiping out half of it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, there's all these cool characters involved, and even people who are thought to be villains mm-hmm. are getting involved because they realize that this is bigger.
Yeah.
And then you think, like, man, if that's big, like, whoa. And there's just this one little dude handling it.
Yeah.
You just have Nova and Star-Lord, you
know?
It
was great.
It was really cool. That was, that was always my favorite. And now it's, I guess it wasn't good enough.
It was
Let's write to Marvel!
It was kind of sad. See, you have, like, all these characters that die over, you know, whatever span. You had Captain America die. And all these other, and yes, okay, great. Yeah, they died, and I understand. And then they come back, and it's like, okay, I understand that too.
Right, I can
but
get behind it.
You see these Cosmic Marvel guys, chances are most of them probably won't return.
No.
And that's the sad part, is that, like,
when they're dead, they're dead.
Yeah.
But they didn't die to sell books.
No.
No death in Cosmic Marvel was ever, like, throwaway.
Mm-mm.
You know?
No, it was for a cause.
Right. Whether it was Black Bolt and Vulcan,
mm-hmm.
or even more recently with Thanos Imperative. The ones who passed there.
Won't spoil it because it's such a great book.
It is. Pick it up. If you haven't read anything Cosmic Marvel, doesn't matter almost.
Yeah.
Because it'll get you caught up and it'll just be way super cool.
Yeah. It's a really good book.
Yeah. So that was definitely Annihilators. Is easily one of my favorite miniseries this year.
Mm-hmm. So another one that's starting to catch up to me, is, I guess you could say, the sequel to Fantastic Four, the Future Foundation.
Yes.
You know, like, I was never really a Fantastic Four fan growing up, but ever since they got reinvented and they've become, like, the Marvel First Family, I've gotten more and more attached to them. And I actually really do enjoy their books. And the Future Foundation is no exception.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it's almost, like, taking that bar that Fantastic Four set at their peak. And it's like, all right, we're going to do one better. And now we're going to bring in another character. And now we're going to redo this whole system. And it's just great.
And then the next issue comes out and they say, we're going to do one better than that last issue.
Yeah. They always strive to do one better.
Yeah, and they succeed is the best part about it.
We win. The consumer wins on this one.
The consumer wins. And the just the overall story wins. Mm-hmm. Because it's been a consistently strong book.
Yeah.
And it's definitely taken some really cool twists lately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to see the Sinister Six get involved in the Future Foundation and to see their... I can't wait to see the outcome of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And it's going to be pretty
And the whole
crazy
Doom arc, that's been a crazy arc, too. Like, you know, it's just been a great book.
Yeah. And I like that it's tying up some of the things left over from Hickman's run on Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
In that he introduced all these things, and his stories were amazing, and now they're really coming together.
Yeah.
Like, All of the negative zone stuff and mm-hmm. the blue area of the moon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really cool.
Yeah, it's just been a really good book, and for once I can just say I enjoy reading Fantastic Four or Future Foundation.
Yeah, and it doesn't hurt that they got Spidey in there.
No, it doesn't. It actually adds that little bit of, I guess you could, pizzazz. I guess would be
that's
the correct
good,
word.
It's a pretty good word for it, I'd say.
But the funny part is that, like, they don't make him just comic relief. He actually contributes to the team using
right.
one of the features that is always underplayed with Spider-Man, and that's his genius.
Yeah, he's a smart dude.
Yeah. I mean, if you're reading the newest Spider-Man, you finally see him achieving what, like, the Marvel Universe has always put him towards, you know, as the scientist.
Right.
He's got an awesome job at Horizon Labs. You know, he makes all this cool gadgetry.
He's making new suits left and right.
Yeah.
To handle problems.
I mean, he's finally putting his brain to work, but that's for another thing. I mean, you know, that's the other reason why I'm liking Amazing Spider-Man right now.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact that they're having, like, three stories in one every time I get it, and I only get, like, four pages of actual Amazing Spider-Man, and then the rest is, like, the Road to Infestation or, you know, Spider-Man and Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
Haven't been really fond of that, but... You know, I have been enjoying Spider-Man, especially when he teams up the Future Foundation, and just to see him finally put his smarts to good use.
Definitely.
You know, so I'm glad for Marvel. I really am. For once, they're starting to put out some quality books.
Yeah, they're really firing on all cylinders, it feels like, with Fear Itself and Future Foundation
and they have,
Annihilators. And
yeah.
You know, even, I'd say right now, as sad as this is to say, I think their Avengers stuff is kind of their weakest.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like it's contributing to a larger story,
mm-hmm.
and it's just sort of slow for everything.
I feel
that's
Avengers
going on.
Academy is pulling more weight than Avengers.
Oh yeah,
you know, with all these new characters that they're introducing, especially with their ties in with Norman Osborn, I think it's been really good. Like, I just read the new Avengers, and Secret Avengers has been okay to me, just okay. But I agree with you. I think the Avengers is their weak point right now.
Yeah.
You know, but then the funny thing is, like, you have the Avengers, and then you have everyone that makes up the Avengers, and all the, like, books that the Avengers characters are producing are great.
Yeah.
You know, like Spider-Man, Future Foundation, Captain America.
The Wolverine ongoing
yeah.
has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Has been actually really good. And I've, like, asked me when before it started, you
yeah.
know, 11 or 12 issues ago,
yeah.
what I would have thought about it,
yeah.
and I would have said... I don't think it's going to be that great. I was wrong. 100%.
All right.
Because I'm digging it now. So it really seems like they've kind of got it coming together, I think.
Which is funny because you would think that Marvel would take more initiative into putting more effort into their Avengers book, especially with the Avengers movie coming out next
right.
year. You know, you'd think that they'd be laying the foundation work right now, but it almost seems like hey, let's build up all these side stories, and then we'll just let the movie speak for itself.
Yeah, definitely has a little bit of that vibe going on.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah. Oh, well. So, at least we have the other books to entertain us. One book out of, like, you know, 20 isn't bad to me.
Yeah, that's really a pretty good ratio, mm-hmm. I'd say. A fair percentage. And we've got plenty of the DC books that we already talked about, and plenty of independent books, especially lately. Image Comics has been going through, like, sweep season almost. They've been putting out number ones left and right.
Yep. What did we get recently?
Oh, let's see.
Non-Player, Green Wake.
Non-Player, Green Wake, Blue Estate.
That's right.
Butcher Baker, The Righteous Maker.
I didn't read that one.
That one was pretty weird. That one had a very,
I thought,
like, Jack Burton Escape from, no, that's Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China feel.
Yeah, because I read Green Wake and I read Blue Estate. I enjoyed Blue Estate a lot. Green Wake, I'm on the fence.
Yeah.
After the third issue, I'm going to decide yay or nay from there. But Blue Estate, I thought it was awesome. Non-Player was phenomenal.
Non-Player was easily, I think, the best one out of that wave of Image books to come out. Incredibly drawn.
Yeah.
And a really, I don't even know if it's that interesting of a story, but it was like, I don't know. I think the art and everything that went into it just made the story kind of magical almost.
It almost seems like this is the way Dot Hack should have been from the beginning.
Yeah.
And that is like going back.
That's quite back.
You know, so yeah,
but
if you enjoy Dot Hack or games like that, you'll really enjoy Non-Player. It's the way it really should have been done.
Yeah.
It's very enjoyable. But there was another one. This, I don't know if this comic is Image-based, but Axe Cop.
That one is Dark Horse.
Well.
Also lovely.
I give full credit to that whole team. It is awesome. Axe Cop, if you can find a copy, is written by, I believe it's a 9-year-old, and drawn by a 32-year-old.
Yeah, the kid's brother.
Yeah.
Draws his brother's stories.
It's a great book that you can read like any time of the day, and it'll just put a smile on your face. And it's great artwork, too. At least to me, I think it is. You know, that kind of cartoony-ish, but, you know, A, we know we're a comic, so.
I've decided to wait for trade on it. I want to enjoy the whole thing all at once.
All right, well.
Because I've heard nothing but great things.
You'll enjoy it. It's okay. Really good.
It's good to know.
Yep. So we had Chew come out, which has always been a great book. They're still holding strong. I think it's going great. It was a future forward or a flash forward event.
A whole year later.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see the events and everything. I don't really want to say anything because it'll kind of spoil it.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward towards this next arc. Chew's going to be great. Can't wait to see how this translates to the silver screen, you know, our little TVs. And
exactly.
And see how all this goes.
The Showtime show.
Yep.
Pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited as well. And then we had two other books kind of that stood out for me, and that was Mega Man number 1.
Okay.
And Crossed.
Two I'll go, very different books.
Yes. I'll go right into Crossed because, you know, honestly, it sticks out in my mind is because, and I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing, but I'm getting, like, desensitized to Cross.
That might be a bad thing.
But, this run, I think it's called Psychopath.
Yep.
It's not as good as the first two. Like, it seems a little weak.
Right.
Family Ties or Family Values, I thought was a great run. The one prior, Crossed, was awesome.
Right.
You know, that was the
really
first.
Really set the tone. There's nothing to compare it to.
Right. Especially with the villains in it. But I won't mention their names because we'll probably get booted off iTunes for it. But anyway,
so.
Crossed was just okay. I mean, if you haven't picked it up yet,
May not be your thing. I would say definitely flip through it before you pick it up.
Well, I was going to say, like, if you're waiting for the trade, I'd say you could probably pass on this trade.
Skip Psychopath?
Just stick with the first two and then call it good. I mean, if anyone catches you with those anyways, they might think of you as a psychopath.
Right. There's always that risk.
Right. But it was okay.
Okay.
But the other one...
Let's talk Mega Man.
...is Mega Man. It tells the origin of Mega Man, but everyone knows the origin of Mega Man, but it was just finally nice to see it on paper, in color, you know, watching these actions pass. The artwork's amazing. It looks just like the old, like, not drawn pixel by pixel and right. 8-bit, but, you know, like the old cartoon was. And it's really cool. It brings back, like, some memories for me. And I've always been a Mega Man fan, so I really did enjoy it. If you can find it.
I was going to say, that's saying a lot. When you're a fan of something and then it's adapted into a medium, yeah. and it's still, you know, is good.
It still holds true to its value.
That is a good sign.
Yeah, it was, you know, it's the first issue, and it's kind of like the origin story, so not a lot happens, but, you know, Dr. Light's there, Dr. Wily's there, Roll's there, no Rush, but just, you know, Rock is there, and then the things happen, and then you see him, no Proto Man. No Proto Man, but Guts Man, you know, Cut Man, you know, right. Cold. But it was a good book. I enjoyed it.
Nice. So,
yeah. You know, we had some good books, and we got some good books coming up, and, you know, we got a whole summer ahead of us. Comic-Con's right around the corner.
Yep.
E3's right around the corner.
Crazy news is all coming around the corner, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I tell you some crazy news it's not really crazy news, it's more bummer news that the PSN network is still down.
That is a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
I will agree.
I think I got an email in regards to, hey, we'll give you, you know, a month free of the PlayStation Plus. But I haven't gotten an email in regards to my Hulu account yet or my Netflix. That's totally whack now because the PSN network is down. Have you gotten anything in regards to this?
I got one email that mm-hmm. was like the mass one that was sent out that said we had a network intrusion
mm-hmm.
and we're working to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty sure they got your name and address, but we don't think they got any credit cards.
Okay.
That was like the only email that I've gotten from them.
Okay. Other people have actually received emails in regards from GameStop saying, hey, you want PSN? Come on down. We'll give you $100 off, which is a pretty good deal.
That is a pretty good deal. And it would be great if I didn't already have a PS3.
Yeah.
So that I can complain about the network outage.
Right. See, I have a bit of a, I guess it's like a complaint, but I got the PSN beta key for Infamous 2, and I'm super stoked for Infamous 2.
Right.
Can't play it. It's online only, and I can't play it, and it sucks.
It's definitely, yeah.
You know, so and what did I do?
That one's right around the corner, too.
Yeah, that's the crummy part, is that, like, probably by the time I can play the beta and actually get my hands around it, I'll have the game in my hands.
Yeah.
Which is like, well, great, I'm glad I sat on this beta key and I got teased for like 2 months. So instead of playing Infamous 2, I'm playing Gears of War 3 beta. And
has it been pretty good?
Yeah, it's been great.
Nice.
You like Gears of War?
I do like Gears of War.
You like Gears of War 3?
All right. Standard formula?
Standard
Those
formula.
Are bad guys. Kill yep. them. Here's yep. some more.
Here's a chainsaw gun.
Go underground.
Mm-hmm. Fight the locusts. But yeah, you know, a little bummed about the PSN network, but
as am I. I think I'm more bummed because I've really come to use it. Like before, I wasn't too huge on online gaming, but
mm-hmm.
with stuff like Red Dead that we just, you know, played into the dirt last year.
Yeah.
You know, and DCU Online and
that merged all into one server, mind you.
Right, which I'm okay with because I'd rather play with a good number of people
mm-hmm.
than, you know, one other guy.
Thanks, Chess.
Shouting, hey, is Metropolis? Is there anybody here? No? I'll go to the Watchtower. Anybody in the Watchtower? Okay, I guess I'll try Gotham. Am I really the only person in this whole world?
Apparently
I can
so.
Do whatever I want. But, yeah. So that's that. I mean, I'm definitely bummed that it's down too, but, you know, for what? 6 years of uninterrupted service, 2 months isn't so bad.
And the fact that it's free.
That too. And it's free.
The only part that bums me out is, like I said, is that my Hulu account, my Netflix account is all tied to it. So if I can't get online, I can't watch it. And I've been paying for the service, and now I am.
Sony Entertainment also,
right.
the DCU Online subscription.
Yep.
You can't actually edit any credit card information online.
Yeah, so you're stuck.
There's no way to say, hey, cancel my subscription until it comes back up.
Mm-hmm.
They have said, I've read online, that they're offering a free month plus mm-hmm. an extra day for every day the network's down
right.
to make up for it.
Mm-hmm.
But Is it really a free month if I got charged $14?
Right. Exactly. So, I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully this all gets resolved.
Hopefully. They said it's supposed to be up May 31st.
Wow. I think that's almost a month and a half it's been down.
Yeah. I think that was like the latest they said.
Excuse me.
So.
Oh, well.
We will see. Although L.A. Noire does come out next week.
No one cares.
No online gameplay.
No one cares.
I care.
You can't. Yeah, but even when you play it.
5.5 hours of cutscenes.
Yeah, whatever.
Sweet facial recognition.
Yeah, I don't care.
About whether somebody's lying or not.
Don't care.
Awesome lighting effects.
Don't care.
It's going to revolutionize gameplay.
You know what else is going to revolutionize gameplay?
Chainsaw guns.
I was just going to say yep. The Nintendo system, but...
Well, yeah, you know. Of course. But we won't know anything about that until...
E3. Super stoked.
Or E-cubed.
E-cubed? Okay, I'll go with that.
That's the raised up 3.
All right.
You know.
So, all right, well, cool. Is there anything else you want to add to this?
A very special thank you to everybody listening. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
A very special shout out to, we haven't mentioned this yet, but Ian over at Bagged and Board had a baby. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
Glad to see that you guys are back up and running as well. Mm-hmm. Make sure to go to baggedandboard.com. Check them out.
I like their comics.
Me too. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's very biting. It's very, very cynical, but very funny. Mm-hmm. So much love to them.
Yep.
But also much love to you listeners. Thanks for tuning in every other week.
Yeah.
And letting us get our geek on.
Yeah, it's much appreciated.
It is.
All right, guys.
Wizard.
Later.
Snuck it in there, just for you.
Thanks, Chess.
If only we could, like, slowly audio out.
What do you mean, like this? PJ, get